muted here. There we go. Hello. Good morning, everybody. We are live from Sofia, Bulgaria. Very, very beautiful. You see constructions, new buildings. Since communist era, new buildings. Before communist era, old buildings. Very good. Yeah, we're coming to you from a place that I never thought, I mean, it's never been on my travel list. I don't know about you, Ben.
Definitely not.
But very, very cool. I can see everybody in the comment section. It's all rocking and rolling. Morning, G and the gang. Sound guy, are we good this week? Dumisane, it looks like we are. So, hi, everybody. Too many big funerals this past weekend, says Fundo. A legendary Mapaputsi. Oh, no, Mapaputsi. I was playing a song to someone just the other day. He's famous, Ben, from Izinja.
Ah, yes, of course. Remember? I remember that.
Yeah.
I should remember the barking, yeah.
Right, that one.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, shame, Mapaputsi. And very, very sad. I mean, now all we need to lose is Puza Kemisi, and we've really lost the only real talent left in South African music. So very, very sad. But thanks for letting me know, Fundo. And yes, it's morning here, as it would be in South Africa. I think we've got an hour's time difference.
Yeah, so obviously we're at 7.
Yes.
And you guys are at 6. And
right.
I'm actually not sure where east is, see where the sun rises. I know it's just quite dark and dreary.
Well,
and people get to work quite late here, clearly.
In the east here, that would have been like, at the moment, east of us is the Black Sea, which of course is hotly contested right now between Russia and Ukraine. And we let some people back home know where we were. And they said, oh, well, you better hope that Vlad doesn't launch any missiles. Otherwise, you could be in trouble.
It's late summer. He's chilled. He has to be.
Yeah, but also, Bulgaria is not really in the mix for this. Bulgaria is a member of the EU.
Yeah.
So, interesting, they are a member of the EU, but they use their own currency. It's called the Bulgarian lev.
We haven't put it in our hands yet, but we're going to be exchanging those today for various trinkets.
Yeah, so we're also going to take a look around, and we'll bring you some. We went around yesterday, saw a lot of communist statues from the old days. Saw some beautiful Russian Orthodox churches.
Yeah.
There's a cathedral here called, I think, Alexander Nevsky, and it's beautiful inside. I mean, it's like Byzantine, effectively, and spectacularly beautiful mosaics, paintings, murals. There's a lot of there are these enormous, great big chandeliers that are made of brass, which you actually can't believe the size of. I mean, it's probably about, 3-4 meters in diameter?
Easily, yeah.
And really, really beautiful. Plus, these churches are old, so we're talking some of them. We saw some buildings around Sofia that have been here since the Byzantine era, so like 200, 300 AD. There are a lot of ruins that they've uncovered recently. So from a history point of view, I think it's pretty damn cool.
But what's also so great, like I've had the privilege of going to quite a few cities around the world. It's like nobody's here. So we went to this amazing cathedral and there's no queue to get in. No one's hassling you for a few rupees here or there, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's quiet. This place is really, really quiet. And the whole thing about the ruins you said is that they decided to make a railway. So they got into this area, so digging around and they found Roman ruins.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
So it's like, it's almost undiscovered, this place still.
Ben looks so young today, says Mapelos. It's a compliment.
It's where you take an Eastern European back to Eastern Europe.
And our own friend Janine says, Dobro utro, Gareth and Ben. I don't know if maybe she speaks Bulgarian and this is her opportunity to let us know. But thanks, Janine.
I think that means nice beard.
Okay. Thank you. And usually you say that to the women. I think that's the feminine for nice beard.
Yeah.
All right, here's Leanne Moll. Speaking of the feminine, are you there, ass? No, I don't think she is. All right. Slippery Pickle says, isn't Bulgaria ancient Macedon? So there are parts of southern Bulgaria which formed parts of Alexander the Great's kingdom in about 300 BC. But what you got to remember here is that this place was like a crossroads of empires. So you had, over the course of the last 2,500 years, you had a lot of movement. Originally, it was called Thrace. And the Thracians were well known in ancient Rome for actually giving the Romans a couple of hidings. So they were pretty good fighters.
Wasn't Spartacus from Thrace?
Quite possibly. So, you know, you get some quite tough people here. I mean, you get those big wrestlers and bodybuilders you see at the Eastern European entries for the Olympics.
Again with the women, Gareth. You're talking about the women all the time here.
Well, yes. They're very beautiful. Actually, we've seen a couple of different versions of Bulgarian women, and I know we've got to cut to the chase on this one because that's what people are mostly interested in. It's what do the people look like? So we were on a plane yesterday from Doha to Sofia with a guy called Barbaros.
Well, that's what we named him.
So Barbaros and girlfriend. Barbaros look like he's probably only in his 20s, but he looks 60.
Kind of like if Azamat was young and rich.
Azamat from Borat.
Yeah, if Azamat was young and rich, that would be him.
Big stomach. You could see that maybe he was in his teens, he was in good shape. You could see he smokes a lot, but he couldn't on the plane, obviously. He took off his shoes. He was wearing, in Bulgaria, it seems they wear these, almost like slippers.
So they're like fancy Persian man slippers.
Yeah, but they don't have a back to them. Yeah. So it's just got the front part of the shoe. And he took those off almost instantly upon getting onto the plane, put his seat in the reclining position, and put his feet up right between the arms of the seat in front of him.
It was within 35 seconds, he had a glass of champagne in his hand, his shoes were off, and he was up, and he was actually sleeping.
Yes. And his girlfriend, now let me tell you about her. Sure, quite a lot of plastic surgery. Big lips, Kardashian style. Quite a lot of eye makeup, very dark eye makeup.
Yeah.
Good body, but quite a lot of work done there as well.
Yeah.
Very difficult to determine her age. She could have been anywhere between 17 and 60.
Yes.
You know? And she first started the journey with the blanket right over her head.
Yeah, like a celebrity.
I don't know what she was doing under the blanket. Who knows? Maybe just hiding from the paparazzi. I haven't seen them here in Bulgaria, but they might exist. And then when I did get a good look at her after I just, you know, popped into the bathroom, because the excuse was to actually have a look at her. And I mean, wearing a lot of very trendy label type clothing, big sunglasses.
Well, they've just been shopping because Barbaros had many, many bags. Basically, it was designer clothing mule as he walked in.
Yes. And I suspect other things, because when we got off the plane, look, Ben and I were lucky enough for the last leg of the journey from Doha to here to have been upgraded on Qatar Airways. So we sat together in business class, which is very nice. Yeah. That's how we got to see Barbaros.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we would have seen just, you know, all the people that we were traveling with. Anyway, Barbaros and wife or girlfriend, we don't know, got off the plane and were picked up by a black vehicle with tinted windows. And we never saw him again. That's so he didn't go through customs, border control. Barbaros goes straight to house. So I'm thinking he might be like mayor of Sofia or something.
We should have really spoken to him because if we went out with him at night, it would be like a scene from that Euro trip where the whole town just comes out and you have everything.
Yes, I think that's probably
from lobster to drugs to anything.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably about right.
But he looked like that character. I know, like, we would naturally take the piss out of stuff like this, but he was that guy.
No, Barbaros. I don't think that his real name could be very far off that. So I can see Leanne is there. Hello, ass.
Yes, she moved.
Ah, still. It's like communicating with the diff. Your mic is on mute. That could be part of the problem.
This is a Zoom call in COVID right now.
I can't unmute you. You have to unmute yourself. I can't do anything for you. Let's just see while you mess around and do that. We've got lots of other stuff to show you. So Ben found a story in the news this morning, which may interest some people, about what's been going on here. Apparently, not a lot of tourism. Let me just find this story for you. So this is the first story that came up, and it's got a very weird picture. So we're going to show it to you. If you're watching us on YouTube this morning as opposed to listening, then you'll see this picture. So it says BHRA. I assume that's like the tourist authority.
Yes.
Problems in tourism remain unresolved. Then it says nothing was done this year to attract tourists.
So apparently it was a big pre-election thing when they last had the election that we're going to pump tourism. There's going to be so many jobs. It indirectly and directly contributes to 13 to 15% of the GDP. But people are saying that bugger all's been done. So as I said, we were walking around, it felt pretty quiet.
It was quiet.
It was quiet. And there's nothing about, you don't ever hear about Bulgarian tourism.
No.
Nothing. But it's such a cool city. And obviously there's huge resorts. You can go skiing here in winter at a place called Pamparova.
Yes, I very think it's nice.
Called Pamparova.
Pamparlova or something. Yeah. It sounds almost like a kind of food dish, but it's not. It's snow.
Or a nighttime indulgence.
Yeah.
And there's lots to do, but Sofia itself is such a beautiful city. Last night we were on this rooftop of our hotel here, and you 360 degree views of the whole city, and there's forests and there's hills, and it's all like, it's just beautiful, but they've done nothing, Gareth. And the journalist here, Vinchislav Mihailjilov, he's irate. He's absolutely irate.
Well, you can see he didn't even write an article. That's all he wrote is nothing was done this year to attract tourists. And then he's got a picture of, it almost looks like he must have taken this from his hotel room without the waitress's permission.
Laziest journalist in the world. He's got to a hotel room, looked outside the window, took a photo of the headline and said, fuck it, I'm done.
And there she is. She's kind of serving a table where no one's sitting, because nothing was done to attract tourists, right? So she's actually got nothing to do.
He's basically the Banksy of journalism, this guy. He's just making a small distinctive mark and moving on.
So there he is, taking a look at this restaurant on the pavement. Nothing going on there. She doesn't know he's taking the picture. He just sends it to his news agency and says, there, I did tourism. Now we've got tourism story.
But I've been scrolling around, and the thing about tourism, as we know, you know, Trevor Noah and Roger Federer, all those people have made so much money out of SA Tourism because their advert was so big. Bulgaria doesn't have that. So maybe while we're here, I mean, I've got my camera, I've got some microphones.
Yeah, we're going to record some stuff.
We'll
actually
make a Bulgarian tourism movie.
Yes.
I think that's what we'll do this week. And then we'll sell it for, like, how much money these guys got?
Well, they've got some. They've got some. And listen, by the way, you get 10 Rand for every one Bulgarian lev.
Yes.
So actually, you just multiply by 10, and that gives you an idea of the price of things. So I had a chicken burger yesterday, and that was like 20 lev.
Okay.
So 200 Rand. It's quite an expensive burger. I wouldn't say it's cheap, but it is the cheapest country in Europe to travel to at the moment.
Well, certainly cheaper than the Doha airport.
Oh, my God. I had a coffee. Okay, so listen to this quickly. Doha airport, first time I've flown on Qatar as well. Very nice, by the way. In economy, nice, lovely, no complaints. In business, obviously much nicer. But the coffee in Doha airport, you know, there's a lot of pictures of Doha airport with that teddy bear under the lamp. That's kind of, yeah. So I decided I wanted to feel what it was like to be ripped off. So I went to a coffee shop inside of Doha airport and found a very reasonable cappuccino. I wouldn't say it was mind-blowing. 153 rants for one cappuccino.
This Aussie guy behind you, he was irate. Because when you pay, they say, do you want the local currency or your currency? And you can pick whatever you want. And I've been to Australia where coffee is not cheap. This guy looks at the waitress. He looks at the machine. And he says, $20. And he said, no, fuck. And he walked away. He did not go further than that. He was flabbergasted. The guy's just flown, obviously, from Australia. That's a long way. And he wanted a coffee, and he just thought, no.
So, Ass, are you excited about Bulgaria now that you've heard this little intro of ours?
Well, firstly, I'm wondering if you can hear me.
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, thank goodness. There was a...
Whoa. No, don't stop fiddling with wires, Leanne. What have you done? Did you spit on the wires? What happened? No, now we can't hear you again. It's gone away. All right, I'm going to get James to help sort this out.
We're going to exclude Leanne from the tourism video. She's not reliable.
But I'll tell you what we're going to do is we'll make stuff, all kinds of video and pictures and shit available on social media, and then we'll share them on the show come Wednesday, because we're going to be doing Wednesday's show from here as well. And we're going to be in a different place, Plovdiv. Very good place, Plovdiv.
Yes. Sorry, when you say these words, I always think of people.
I'm
really bad when I meet people. You think, Plovdiv, have we met this guy?
So, no, Plovdiv is a place. And it's actually apparently very beautiful. We're going to like a resort type. You're going to be playing golf there?
Yeah, I see, sir.
And they've got a lake. And apparently it's very, very pretty. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, when a place like this turns up on your bingo card, you think, wow, I don't know if I'd ever chosen that. But I'm very, very pleased I'm here. And it's so far, it's terrific.
Gareth, enjoying it. You know what? I don't think we are actually going to Plovdiv. We're going to another place that starts with a P.
Well, you can't read Cyrillic scripts. I don't know if I trust you on this.
Plovdiv was where that guy from Tinder was from.
He went to the just explain this.
No, you have to get the picture up here.
All right, I'll find it and I'll send it. Okay, you tell the story.
So we... You have to have the picture as reference, but...
All right.
So when we were getting ready for this trip, we started a little WhatsApp group. There's four or five of us in there. And I thought it'd be quite funny to see what Bulgarian Tinder pushes out. So cursory Google search and Barbados, that's where we got the name from. This guy pops up. So he looks exactly how you would think like a Bulgarian man looks like. I think he's from Plovdiv because he states that he graduated from the
school. Higher School of Security and Commerce.
Yes, and that's where I think Plovdiv has come from. The other place we're going to has a T in after the P.
Okay, so a different place.
Yeah, so you see there.
I got it. I'm going to send it now.
So, but if you walk around, everything is in English, but they've obviously got the sort of Russian script kind of going on. So it's very difficult to see and work things out. If you're from Plovdiv, tell us more.
Yes, of course, because there are lots of people who are from Plovdiv who listen to us. Although you've been contacted by people who listen to the show who are in Bulgaria.
I must get back to my DMs. There's a few DMs of people who
either here. Yeah, Barbaros. He's Barbaros. Only hard to imagine. He's only 24. I mean, Leanne, this is a perfect guy for you. He's 24 from Higher School of Security and Economics, yes. Plovdiv. Man.
24, please. Is that even real?
Yes, totally. So there we go. Now you know who we're talking about. Anyway, so some exciting stuff happening here. But we will be going to this very cool place for the last 2 days. And then back on Friday already. We won't be doing it's in Pravets, not in Plovdiv. Sorry, Pravets. Okay, you know, forgive me for not knowing the geography of Bulgaria.
If anyone who we're with right now has just heard us say we go to Plovdiv, they'll be like, no, the fuck we're not.
I mean, how did you guys even find your way to the sofa today?
Listen, we're very organized here. We're staying in a beautiful hotel, by the way. This is probably one of the nicest hotels I've stayed in. It's the Hyatt. What do they call this one?
It's the Hyatt Regency.
Regency in Sofia. So we're in the middle of town. We're very close to all the kind of main things that people want to see around here. There's a beautiful little market yesterday that we walked through.
And they gave away free stuff everywhere we went.
So I think this is a throwover from communism. And part of the reason I'm fascinated, and today we're going to go a little off the beaten track to check shit out, is because I always think people who've never lived in a communist country don't know how shit it is, right? So we're going to take pictures of like where there used to be pictures of dictators that they've removed, where they've pulled down statues and just left like grass that's overgrown and shit, because people are so embarrassed by and angry about what communism did, because Bulgaria is part of the Eastern Bloc. It was behind the Iron Curtain. And they had... I mean, I'll talk about their king in a minute, because that's an interesting story too. But they had a really rough time, and they kind of, it took them a while to get out of that way of thinking from the 80s, the late 80s, right through to now. But it's a very cool country now, and people here are able to partake in all the usual good stuff that the rest of the EU can. They don't have as many problems with immigration, despite being so close to Turkey, for example.
Maybe that's why the tourism's so quiet. They don't give any good ideas away.
Maybe. It's still largely from a religious point of view, Russian Orthodox Christian. You see a lot of little cathedrals and churches all over the place. They're dotted around little shrines. But I want to see the communist stuff because I think that's funny. And one of the throwovers from communism has to be the fact that they were giving away free stuff yesterday. We passed this like concert where they were doing Bulgarian rap. Another thing I'll post in the social media this week. And a lot of young people. And they give away like packets of chips and cans of Coca-Cola on a Sunday only. And you can have one. And there are security to keep you away.
It felt like we're bread queuing. And there was even protein bars. So I had one of those and I'm still regretting it. I mean, this thing claimed to be raspberry. When you were really young, I mean, Leanne, you would know because obviously you're the same generation as us. Like when we were really young, sweets were, oh, they were terrible. They were sickly, sickly sweet, made out of, I don't know, like
tartrazine. They would make you itch under your arms and like yes. have asthma attacks.
And they'd probably have asbestos for thickening. And they would, that's what this thing tasted like yesterday. But, you know, friendly, happy people.
So raspberry, has never seen a raspberry in its life.
But it was so red. I mean, my stomach lining is forever changed now. That's
the DNA.
This other place that we missed was giving away free beer. Because yes. it's not a very big city. Ooh. I mean, if something's happening, you can hear it. It's just kind of there.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. So there are a couple of interesting things here. Let the Bulgarian chicks know you're from Africa with a picture of a dick. That's not really the purpose of this wow. trip. But all right,
how do you, propose we do that? Just walk around with one?
Yeah.
Or just drop trowel?
Drop trowel, I think. On a scale of England on the shit end and South Africa on the good end, how's the food? Okay, so we haven't had any local food.
Yeah, it's impossible to say because we've been having hotel food, which is amazing.
And it's really good. And we went to a very cool restaurant yesterday, which was our only other experience. We only arrived at 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So still a lot to see. But we'll check out a lot more of the local stuff today. And there probably is, Andy, beetroot and a bunch of other stuff that they like to eat.
Yeah. Like, again, there isn't much of a street sort of culture. It's quiet. I mean, it was a Sunday. I don't know if Sundays or anything
maybe
to go by.
Maybe.
I don't know what the coffee color. Like, we'll find it all out today.
Congo Krzysztofski says asbestos state approved candy flavor.
gets in your teeth to strengthen them.
So obviously, driving from the airport, you also see the less glamorous suburbs, right? And I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
Yeah.
You know, you see like a lot of graffiti, a lot of...
It's kind of like some of them...
Very old ladies pushing what look like prams, but actually grocery trolleys with nothing in them.
It's weird. Like if you imagine a building has shat its pants, that's what some of them look like as you drive out. And then you turn a corner and there's like ultra modern... There was this one building, I took a clip, as like I'm making a tourism video, as I've just told you. And it's this huge, like, horrible apartment sort of block, which looks like it shat its pants. And on the top, there's a big KFC communist sign. All the communist signs are hilarious. They're all built in the same way, with few sticks and paint. And they all have them. It's so funny. And then this whole building just has a KFC sign on it. It looks like where either the chickens or the really basic, like, laborers live.
So let me show you here. I can give you a brief view of what we're seeing out of the window here. Can you see that, Ben? Just tell me if I'm good. See that building? Isn't that gorgeous?
Oh, dear. Yes.
There's the old. Yeah.
Yes.
And there's new. I mean, that's very pretty. Kind of new, you know, high-rise apartments.
Well, I mean, it's much like Joburg and Cape Town. We all have new right next to old.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, some of the buildings, the hotels are very, very nice. There are lovely public squares.
Yeah.
The park.
Fancy cars.
You've got a park outside your room. You can see from your bedroom. You showed me a picture. And,
yeah, I've got a slightly nicer room.
But it's he's got like a square or a circle rather with an obelisk in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's like one of those half-assed obelisks. Like somebody was trying to do something impressive and they lost interest halfway through. So it starts quite nice and bulbous and then suddenly just goes.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I've experienced that before.
We will be updating you and doing more Bulgarian touristy stuff through the course of this week. But back on Friday, and we'll actually be flying on Friday for that show. So James and Simpiwe and I think Sandile will be doing the show.
I think so.
Friday morning, which is very cool. All right, but let's get back to all the other stuff because while we're here, the world continues. I see there are a couple of stories in the news. There's a Starlink breakthrough, which is very good news. Elon Musk's company is in talks with the South African government to introduce the satellite service to the country. There's been a lot of pressure on them because even Zimbabwe has Starlink, okay? And Zimbabwe's government are way worse than ours. And that's something you don't hear those words, way worse than ours, very often.
Yeah.
But if Zimbabwe can get Starlink, a lot of South Africans were saying, well, come on. This is something that clearly holds countries back. There are people in rural parts of South Africa who are desperate to have a connection to the internet. And sometimes they don't have fiber. They don't have, telephone lines. So what's happened is that apparently a contractor tried to install SIM cards and things, found that there is a way that we can do this. And the South African government have felt a lot of pressure. They've expressed their desire in the South African government for Musk to invest in the country because he was born here and he's now the world's richest person. And of course, our government can smell money from a mile away. So they want their piece of the pie. Starlink, which currently has 2.6 million subscribers globally, is working on gaining regulatory approval for its services in SA. Additionally, they have secured a deal with United Airlines in-flight Wi-Fi, marking a significant milestone for the company. So now you'll be able to access Starlink through United when you're on the planes, which is pretty damn cool.
So speaking of piece of pie, now obviously,
piece of pie.
Obviously ICASA, and not because I'm just a communist now standing here, but what would MTN, Vodacom, all those companies now see of this? Because they've been in this pie for quite some time.
Yes, so they won't like it at all.
So they've got vested interests. They've been part of our economy for so long. Elon's got a better product, perhaps, for a greater, broader thing. But surely they're going to lobby against this very hard.
So what you're going to have is probably the same situation that we had with when Temu started in South Africa. And suddenly Takealot and Superbalist and all those guys complain bitterly, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this doesn't seem fair. How can you come in and sell things cheaper than us? We were fleecing the South African public. It's, you can't come in and fleece them now and give them good value and charge them less than we were. So I think the same thing will happen. Vodacom, Telkom, MTN, Cell C will all kick up a huge noise about Starlink, and probably they are part of the reason that the government up to now haven't been super enthusiastic. The other reason, as I understand it, is that because our government is so intent on having a cadre deployed into these companies as a shareholder, Elon Musk's not interested in BEE, quite rightly. Yeah. He says, go fuck yourselves. And ICASA will also try to implement a whole lot of rules around this, say, oh no, but we have to have part South African black ownership, which is like, you know, what, for nothing? Yes, but that's how South African business works, obviously.
So, guys, just speaking of Temu, obviously it's a big problem here in Bulgaria with Dibri Mitrov, the president of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes,
he's described the situation as saying a snowball that could turn into an avalanche because all these unchecked Chinese products coming to Bulgaria are just ruining the economy. They're putting nothing back. They're just taking money out. It's a big problem.
I'm very sad for Bulgaria. This is a problem I didn't see them having, but there we are. Temu is not just bothering us in South Africa. It's clearly an issue here as well. We haven't seen any local stuff to shop for, really. I heard that for women, jewelry is a big thing here.
Again, we're going to find out today. I'm so excited about this. I mean, we've seen some cool novelty things. There was a shirt that said the KGB is still watching you. That was probably the best thing we saw yesterday. That was fun.
Very, very good. All right. But Leanne has got a story from Harvard here, which is quite interesting. They've got an 85-year study which reveals what the key to happiness is. And trust me, we could give some of these Bulgarians some keys to happiness. You're not meant to smile too much. You will see in every photograph that we've taken, I am doing my best to look grumpy. I don't want to look too happy because if I have too much of a good time here, they're going to be suspicious. All right. So tell us what this 85 years of study has revealed about human happiness.
I mean, that's a long time to wait. You do?
Yeah.
What would your guesses be? That there is just one thing that is the key to happiness, and it's very simple.
Well, I'd say there are two, and we did discuss this on the show not so long ago, but I was talking to Ben about this on the plane yesterday. I say there are two things. The first one is to be present instead of living in the future or living in the past. And we've got Dr. Hanan on just now. He can correct me if I'm wrong. And the other one is to be grateful. If you have gratitude and you have presence, you will be happy.
Which, of course, is the correct answer. But Leanne's probably going to allude to something like, if I were to go, it's just having your own time. That is just the greatest thing in the whole world. There's no point being 10 times richer if you have 10 times less time.
I would have thought that too for myself, especially when I saw the answer. But 85 years of this study has revealed that it's staying connected. So Gareth, that kind of leads to what you were saying.
Starlink.
And it kind of says the opposite to what Ben was saying. And it's all about keeping connections with people and not being lonely. The whole idea is that from the study is that loneliness kills. It's as powerful as smoking or alcoholism.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine that. I think if you see very, very lonely people who are desperate for connection, that's just like a cry. It's a very sad thing. So yes, the opposite of happy comes from loneliness. And obviously there are people who are more comfortable with being alone than they are lonely. And then you get truly lonely people. And you could see it when, for example, you know, very old people are just thrown into a home and left there. They don't last very long and they're certainly not happy. So I think that's probably right. And it took them 85 years and how many millions of dollars to discover this? You could have asked any old person in a home.
Yeah, you could have, I suppose. But also what's interesting, because in those days, 85 years ago, of course, you only did experiments on men because the women didn't really count. So this was only experimented on men who were teenagers when the study started. So there you have it.
There's a question here from Mapello for you, Leanne. What happened to your jewelry collection? Did you finally get a good price?
My goodness, that was ages ago. no, I didn't. I was completely ripped off. And I think you'll find that wherever you go, whichever auction place you go to or person that buys gold or selling jewelry is not, don't buy jewelry thinking that it's going to grow in value or anything like that, especially diamonds. You'll sell them for a quarter of what you bought them for.
Important lesson from Leanne, not on Temu. Don't try and...
Yes.
No, not on Temu, unless it's a beauty crown like we had in Uganda. And I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I did see that. But look at this quickly. Carl wants to know, do you need a visa for Bulgaria or can you get it on your green mamba? No, you do. It's Schengen.
Well, ask Gareth. He was interrogator on his purpose here yesterday.
Man, it was like a second. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
but he didn't look at me like that. He looked through you like you were up to no good.
Well, there was one guy, Chenil, who came in after us. He's on our group with us. And the power went down or their system went down at the moment that he got to the counter. And the guy was like, you stand there, don't move, and picks up the phone and goes, and he shat himself. He was like, oh, God, they're going to take me in for questioning and all kinds of shit. But it was because the system went down. And then when it came back up, they processed him and he went through. But that's bad timing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they did ask me, what is purpose of visit? So I said, tourism, travel. He went, okay.
And then you had to give fingerprints.
Yes, I did have to do the four fingers like that on the fingerprint.
You did, no one else.
No, I think there were some other people who did, but Ben didn't. Obviously, he's special. Doesn't look suspicious at all. Judas says Temu is addictive with their spinning wheel of discounts. That's why people keep buying. She needs to catch up.
The whole gamification of things.
Here. Yeah, there we go. Mm. This is interesting from Christelle. She reckons all the items in stores like Woolworths, Truworths, etc., come from the same factories in Shein and Temu. So that's why,
possible.
And they charge you a lot less on there.
Well, this is the thing with the shiny
texture. I don't know. The quality is completely different. Completely different.
Probably still comes from the same factory, though. There's tears to it.
I've told you.
And literal tears, too.
I ordered some stuff, mostly like gift stuff. It's a really cool app for finding gifts for family and friends. I've had no issues with deliveries. They've all been delivered. And it's cheap stuff, but it's fun. It's stuff that you wouldn't find anywhere in a shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get like ridiculous things. I got my sister like a corgi like key ring and like cushion cover, because she likes corgi dogs. She's got those dogs. So that kind of shit you're not going to find easily in a shop. No. And they've delivered them and it's all been exactly the quality I expected. Nothing really, really terrible. I mean, I don't know what it would be like to shop for clothing on there, but maybe that's where people are more worried about the quality.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. Anyway, what do I tell my 92-year-old grandfather who just lost his partner? Go to Bulgaria and meet a scaife? Yeah, I mean, listen, I assume that there must be, that kind of thing going on here. Third best prostitute in Bulgaria, we saw at the airport.
Yeah, I think I saw the seventh best later in the day.
Oh, okay. All right, well, not so good, huh?
That's not about loneliness. That's not going to solve your loneliness issue. But
that's a good point. That's a very good point.
It depends. I mean, did he have prostitutes before that, though? Because if you know what you know.
No, well, I mean, there's that too. But you'd be surprised how many what the dating game is like when you reach that age. There are lots of lonely people. Many people have lost partners. So his outlook, I think there are more chances of him finding someone than any of us.
Well, I mean, there are those famous stories about like really rich guys. And this goes to a point that was made, I think, by V. Roos in the comments about happiness earlier. Is like he says, you just need to make money. I think there are two ways for a man to be happy. Very, very quickly solve most of his problems. It may be true in a different way for women, but most men's problems can be solved by getting into shape and making lots of money.
Yep.
Most men, if you can do both of those things, all your problems, or at least 90% of them, go away.
And you realize the other 10% aren't important.
I think that's probably true.
Also, so not being a dick would be one of them as well.
But that's for other people.
And that's also quite subjective.
And I do think, like, men are much simpler creatures. We're much more, I wouldn't say as complex. We don't have as many different connections and complexities and ways of being in the world than women do. If you're a guy and you're unhappy and you find a job, you work hard and you make money, instantly things get better.
Yeah.
And if you're a guy and you are fat and lazy and you stop being fat and lazy, instantly things get better. Pretty so much. If you're a guy, those are the only two bits of advice that I've ever found really work across the board for all men in order to make them happier. With women, it's much more about like the kinds of social connections you have, the kind of stimulation you get from men, from other women, from your interactions with those people, from children, from all kinds of different things. I think it's just simpler with guys.
Sure.
Mm. What do you think, Leanne?
Well, I think it can get you to a certain point. I know lots of men who have lots of money, drive nice cars and have nice bodies, but they're dicks. So yes. No, it's true though. I mean, they wouldn't have gone for me. I'm not their type, because as soon as a man looks like that and has money, he does believe he can get anything. And so he goes for better looking model type people. So I wouldn't have been their type anyway, but they snag these women, and then a few months or years down the line, the women realize what they're like and they leave.
Or they upgrade.
Or they upgrade to just a nice, normal looking guy who maybe doesn't have all the money, who she didn't want to go for in the beginning, but turns out to be a lifelong partner.
I see in the news, and this is The Guardian, so take it with a pinch of salt, very left-wing paper that, but Trump shooting attempt. The Secret Service will have every resource to protect Trump, says Biden, after apparent assassination bid. Is this another one? This is a new assassination attempt at Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah, breaking news.
His own house? Sorry, Leanne, I know that we were talking about...
Wow, no, let's go.
This is quite a big story. I see it's breaking news now. Safe after new assassination attempt, suspect arrested. And this is in Florida at his golf course in West Palm Beach. A gunman dropped his rifle and two backpacks and fled in a car. Suspect apprehended by sheriff's deputies on the I-95. No motive. I love the way they keep saying no motive when someone's trying to shoot a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Can we please stop being
the
so
motive is to shoot
stupid?
The president.
Honestly, like I do not understand left-wing media and their obsession with never ascribing a motive to someone who wants to kill Trump, but every kind of motive to people who say nasty things on Twitter about left-wing candidates. I mean, can we just have consistency, please, across the board? If someone is trying to shoot you and you're a presidential candidate, it's clear what your motive is. There's no more clear motive. In politics, if you're a political person, the most political thing you can do if you hate someone is try to kill them for their politics. So can we stop doing this, please? Congo Krzysztofski, I love the way he's changed his name, says this a new attempt happened around midnight last night. Very, very bad. Oh, man. Another attempt
while
this
he was
time
playing
by a extremist.
Now it's gone too far. I mean, obviously, any assassination has gone too far. while playing golf,
that's like sacred time.
Oh, and by the way, I like this. Someone says it's a MAGA extremist. Let me tell you something. Why would someone who's make America great again, the very phrase that Trump invented, why would that person try to kill the guy who came up with it? Again, can we stop lying? This idea that there isn't a motive or that this person may be a right winger. The chances are, I'd say there's a 99% chance that this person is a left winger, probably some kind of, you know, Democrat, Trump obsessed, Trump derangement syndrome. That kind of person is far more likely to want to kill Donald Trump than a right-wing MAGA extremist. It's we're not as stupid as people in the media clearly are.
It just seems like the ultimate leftist plan. Okay, but let's also make him a MAGA supporter.
Well, yeah, of course, because God forbid that they should be held responsible for anything. The whole point with the left is that they never want responsibility for anything. Radin says, it appears the shooter was a stereotypical lefty, dyed hair and all. Of course. Of course.
I'm going to go one step further. Not that I know, but I bet he has no social media. It's probably been scrubbed or it doesn't exist. There's going to be no trail. Just like the other guy on the roof. Right.
And miraculously. A little bit of help from some government agencies wouldn't go awry there either. Please. You know, and then Surviving Life says, Gareth's a MAGA fan, never critical of conservatives. Excuse me. We're talking about someone who tried to kill Donald Trump. This is not about my beliefs. Can we just try to be objective for 5 seconds and then we can go back to you being supporting one side and me supporting the other? I am unapologetically hoping that Donald Trump wins this election because I believe Kamala Harris is the least impressive human being ever to have entered politics in the United States. She has done nothing except gobble off Willie Brown when he was mayor of San Francisco. And that is it. Her achievements are zero. As a person, as a vice president, and now as a presidential candidate. That has nothing to do with how much I love Donald Trump and everything to do with how much I want the world to be a slightly better place than clearly you do. All right? The alleged shooter is a Vivek supporter. I seriously doubt it's him. Yeah, well, of course. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. On X, his posts were saved. They are what you might expect, says Radin. You see, again, there are people who are willing to be led by the nose, by mainstream media. And then there are people who immediately can see through this. And if you think that that makes me sound like I'm some kind of MAGA guy, well, then I don't really have much to discuss with you. You've decided already. We can't have a conversation. This is like when someone's decided at a drinks party that you're an asshole and they don't want to talk to you. So then we don't have to talk. I don't know why you're listening to this show, frankly. Ben, you're very upset that this happened during golf.
Yes, I am. I really am. Because now it just means that absolutely no place is safe.
There's just no sacred place. They're saying his name is Ryan Ruth, R-O-U-T-H. They're saying that they did find profiles, the FBI did, on X, Facebook, and LinkedIn for a Ryan Ruth, who appeared to be the man. They've shut down public access, so you won't be able to find them if you look for them yourself. But the three accounts suggest he was an avid supporter of Ukraine in its war against Russia. And in several of the posts, he appeared to be trying to help recruit soldiers for Ukraine's war effort. That's what they've picked up from there.
There's a connection that we didn't expect. He was interviewed by Newsweek Romania. That's the country just next door to where we are now in Bulgaria. In 2022. He's a zealot for the Ukraine war because he's been fully propagandized by corporate media to support the war. He has zero idea of what the war is actually about. His mind's very childlike. He says it's a battle of good and evil. So he is a lefty and a Democrat, and he supports the Russia-Ukraine war. And this is the kind of crazy person who would try to kill a presidential candidate. I'm not surprised by any of this.
Easily led.
Yeah.
And look at him.
So he looks like... He looks, again, like he's got his hair is dyed half one color and half another. And he looks like somebody who would be very much on the left of politics. So I don't believe any of this other crap. Anyway, listen, I want to get to Dr. Hanan. And not only because we were talking about happiness just now, which I think is a valid comment he could add to our conversation there. But I've also got an email from somebody. And if you've got a question you want to put to Dr. Hanan, you can drop us an email at contact@therealnetwork.com. You can remain anonymous if you prefer. And he is, of course, our guy when it comes to all this stuff. Have you got Dr. Hanan on there, guys? I don't see him yet. Is he joining us? Okay, well, the producers will let us know in the next couple of minutes. Ah, there he is. There he is, the great Dr. Hanan. I see you. How's it, Doc?
How's it, guys? How are you?
Bloody fantastic. We're in Bulgaria and Leanne is in her house.
Oh, okay. How's Bulgaria and how's your house?
So I'll answer your first question. Bulgaria is a very interesting place. Like a lot of parts of Eastern Europe, I think that there are people here who they might not be unhappy, but they look unhappy. And this came up as a conversation piece because Leanne read to us about a study that Harvard's been doing over 85 years about what makes people happy. And we've actually kind of discussed this a number of times on the show anyway, unsurprising for you probably, Doc. Happiness comes from connections. And I brought up that when you've given us very good advice before, you've also said being present and being grateful instead of being miserable. And you can choose that. That's not something that happens to you. That's something you choose.
So from the work that I've done, what makes people happy is the pursuit of something that's of value to them. The definition of suffering is twofold. Number one, not pursuing anything because that leads to depression. So the whole notion of being present means being still is nonsense. Being present happens as a result of pursuing something that is of meaning to you. So the number one thing that makes people miserable is not pursuing anything. Mm-hmm. And the number two thing that makes people, the second thing that makes people unhappy is pursuing things that are not meaningful to them. So how many times do I say on the show, my favorite quote, which is, if you're not the chess player of your life, you're a pawn in someone else's, which means if you're not going to have a goal that is of meaning to you, you're naturally going to gravitate towards a goal that's meaningful to someone else. And if you watch a child building a Lego piece that is meaningful to them, you can take the worst ADHD child that can't concentrate for 3 minutes and get them to stick around and do a Lego piece for 10 hours straight. And why? Well, because they're pursuing something that is of meaningful or meaning to them. So, but imagine I make a child do something that is of no real value to them. That's suffering. So again, not pursuing or pursuing something that is not meaningful to you. That's a definition of suffering.
That's a totally different one to kind of your definition of happiness now, not suffering, but your definition of happiness is totally different to Leanne and her study and to me and my answer. But I think there may be elements of value in all three of them. Obviously, you're the expert in this field and you deal with lots of people who are either very happy or unhappy or are trying to discover it. So I love that you have to do stuff. You have to be the chess player in your own chess game. Be the player, not the pawn. And I think this idea that you have to do something that gives you a feeling of purpose and meaning. That's incontrovertible, right? So if you're doing a job or you're living a life that you don't really care about, that other people don't care about, that you don't feel you're making a contribution to society, then you're in big trouble.
You're in big trouble. That's the definition of depression. So again, ask yourself, what do I want to chase?
No, go on.
So if you're chasing again, most people can't even answer what my goal is. What do I want? Because setting goals, as I've said many times, is very difficult and people don't want to fail. So they'd rather kind of set this pixelated idea of what they want. But if you set a broad goals, you'll never achieve it. So you want to know what you want to chase. You want to know what you want to chase in terms of your career. You want to know what you want to chase in terms of your relationship. Your relationships. You want to know what you want to chase in terms of your health. So set a particular set of goals and go and pursue it. It's man's search for meaning that gives meaning, not the arrival. It's the search and the pursuit of something that's meaningful to you that gives you that sense of purpose.
There's someone here, Carl, in the comments says, Hanan looks like he's 33. How is he this wise? All right. I've got an email, though, from one of our listeners. So this is from somebody they want to remain anonymous. People often discuss the signs of mental health issues like depression and anxiety. However, what indications suggest that I am making positive strides in my mental health journey? How do you actually know by observation whether someone's making improvements or whether they're stuck?
So I can give you the real cheap pop psychology answer or the much more nuanced, but the real answer. And I'd like to, as always, give you the real nuanced answer. So the psychology field has always been heavily based on the medical model. The medical model works as follows. A patient walks in with a symptom. The doctor diagnoses the symptom, gives it a treatment, and the patient leaves without the symptom. Treatment is done. And the psychology model for over 100 years has been based on the same thing. The patient walks into the therapist's office, the therapist diagnoses, gives a treatment, and the patient leaves without the symptoms. But I think that is so archaic, and I think that's very inaccurate, because the patient will naturally walk into a therapist's office with sadness or anxiety or frustration or guilt or anger or resentment. And the truth is, those are symptoms that you will never get rid of, because that's life. Everybody at every point of their lives at some point will feel anger and frustration and sadness. So if you're trying to get rid of these symptoms, you are at best going to be disappointed. It's not about getting rid of these symptoms, but working with it. And mental health for me is, am I behaving in a way that allows me to get from point A to my chosen point B in every important area of my life? And if the answer is yes, then you're healthy. And if the answer is no, then it means you need to adjust your framework in order to get you from point A to point B in every important area of your life. Now, what are important areas of your life? We've mentioned them before. There are eight of them. There's career, financial security, family, friends, romantic relationships, diet, exercise, and sleep. And that is how you're going to judge whether you are, in inverted commas, mentally healthy or not. So if I ask you, oh, how are you doing in terms of career? Are you able to get from point A to point B? Are you moving from point A to point B in financial security, in family, in friends, in romantic, diet, exercise, and sleep? And your answer is yes, that means your framework is working and you're healthy. And if the answer is no, it doesn't mean you're sick. It does not mean you're sick. It just means your framework needs adjusting in order to get you from point A to point B. So you're not going to judge whether you're mentally healthy based on how you feel. I know this is crazy. I know it sounds crazy to most. You're not going to judge whether you're mentally healthy by how you feel. You're going to judge whether you are healthy on whether you can actually get yourself from point A to point B.
The best answer, right? The best answer. Just evaluate on those eight paradigms.
Yes.
Yeah, and make improvements. You can change a little bit of one, a little bit of another, maybe change three at once.
Decide. Yes, yes.
And fucking wow, look, everything gets better.
You got it. You don't judge it by how you feel, because your feelings, how many times do I have to say it? Feelings are pathological lies that will deceive you at every turn. What feels right could be completely wrong, and what feels wrong could be completely right. So if you wake up and you go, how do I feel? I mean, how many of those apps, you know, wake us up and go, how are you feeling today? What difference does it make? I still have to go to work. I still have to be a parent. I still have to be a partner. I still have to be a friend. I still have to be a son. What difference does it make how I feel today? So again, most people allow their feelings to drive their behavior, as opposed to the framework driving the behavior that drives the feeling.
Fantastic. This is why Dr. Hanan is the most in-demand shrink in the whole of Joburg and probably the country. This is such good, useful information. Thank you, Doc. As always, it's bloody fantastic to talk to you.
Feelings are the devil, and the devil is a liar.
Yes, the devil is a liar. Yeah. Is there anything that you want from Bulgaria, Dr. Hanan?
What is that's great. What is Bulgaria known for?
The one thing that, so people talk about the honey, apparently.
Yes, that's what
very
we're
good
doing.
Honey.
Yeah.
And there are a few other things. I mean, I actually, when Ben and I knew that we were going on this group with Tourvest to Bulgaria, I did send him a bunch of useful tips on Bulgaria. Some of them great, some of them not so great. But I just want to show you this, because There are things that it's famous for. And I really tried. I also was looking up, you know, the history. So we've got, it's one of the few countries that has never had slaves, which is interesting, even though, you know, the Slavic people are just adjacent. You're not allowed to drive without a fire extinguisher in your car in Bulgaria.
Well, that makes sense.
Of course, because fires just break out.
That would be considered a weapon in South Africa.
And then Dr. Hanan, here's something that the demeanor of most Bulgarians is a tendency not to be too upbeat, which you could perceive as being miserable, but apparently it's seen as distasteful to anything more than to be anything more than okay in public as a show of prowess or boasting about how happy you are and how wonderful your life is and how it's a personal insult and attack on other people and their life. So you mustn't be too happy here. What do you think of that?
So on a serious note, I'd love to see some research on how content and happy Bulgarians are, because I mean, it might sound like weird to not be boastful or not be too happy, but I'm a big fan of not marrying the highs or the lows. You don't want to be a slave to your feelings. So when things go well, you feel good. And when things go badly, you think your life is worthless. I'm a big fan of not marrying either. I'm a big fan of marrying the framework that allows you to move from point A to point B. So I'm not completely against the idea of just don't be too boastful. Don't marry the highs, because if you marry the highs, you're naturally going to marry the lows because you think your feelings matter. And I'm a bigger fan of just moving along.
I'll tell you what, though, they did surveys in neighboring Moldova, and apparently Moldova, I met someone from Moldova a while ago, and apparently it's the unhappiest country in the world. The people in Moldova, which is in that direction, roughly, very, very unhappy. Yeah. Most miserable people in the whole fucking world. So you know, maybe I can bring one of them back in my suitcase for you to study, Dr. Hanan.
Well, maybe I'd love to meet them. While we're here, we're making a tourism video. So I think we're going to interview a Moldovan just to say how great this place is. That'll be our contrast.
People from Moldova come here and they go, "You're so lucky to be born in Bulgaria." they think it's amazing. Disney World. Yeah.
It's amazing, but you know what? It also shows that you can make anything out of your environment. So you know, you can literally be a neighbor and be miserable in your place, but your neighbor is completely ecstatic or happy or content or loving life in their place. So you make what you make out of your own environment. Again, don't be a slave and don't be a victim to what you can't control. Control what you can, let go of what you can't, make the most of it.
Leanne, I'm going to bring you something called Shkembe Chorba. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a savory tripe soup known for its rich flavor and hangover cure reputation.
Yeah, I can really imagine that drinking the innards of an animal that have been, you know, roughed up in a blender on a hangover morning, I'd be able to keep that down, number one.
Very nice. Sure.
Tracy Bard is saying that the wine is apparently really good in Moldova.
Yeah, some of our friends are drinking rosés yesterday.
Leanne, this is the fourth biggest exporter of wine in the world, Bulgaria. So, yeah, don't knock it. The wine's apparently quite good. Just before we let you go, Dr. Hanan, because we're almost at 7 o'clock, but Jane wants to know, can you recommend a book on this topic about the paradigms? She says seven, but they're actually eight.
There are eight paradigms, and it's actually my work, and I'm working on a book, and I'm going to get it out there. And the moment I do, I'll let you know. So it's my personal work that I've been doing for the last 20 years. There's actually, we call them anchors. There are 14 anchors. There's the eight main ones and the six sub ones. The six is spirituality, hobby, self-development, relaxation, meaningful pursuits, and environment. So there are 14 in total, but a great book to start with. And I'm a big fan of this. This is like my Bible is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, where he talks about, you know, irrespective of your environment, hard work is inevitable, but suffering is your choice. Go and pursue something that's of meaning to you. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Magic. All right, Dr. Hanan, have an awesome week.
And, thank you. You too. Enjoy, guys.
I'll bring you something revolting from Bulgaria. When I get back. All right.
Yeah. Just enjoy, guys.
All right. Thanks, Doc. Very good. There's Dr. Hanan, everybody. We're lucky enough on a Monday to get a bit of his time. He really is just booked up the rest of the time, and you can see why. Yeah. So when that book comes out, it's going to be a bestseller for sure.
It's like a superpower to be that smart and succinct.
Absolutely. Makes perfect sense. And I don't know anybody who would take that advice and not feel better about everything.
Mm, yeah.
Azalea says, that stuff I'm going to bring you, Kembekor Chorba. She says, that'll put some hair on your tits. All right. So we'll be back in just a moment or two with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Real Network, Gareth Cliff Show, live from Sofia, Bulgaria.